Let's catch up.
An NFL podcast with Taylor Bisciotti
and Sam Batesh,
where we talk about the biggest headlines in the NFL.
So, Taylor, you know what? Let's catch up.
It's been too long.
Yeah, we really should.
Blue Wire.
Taylor, let's catch up. Let's jump in before we forget the things that we actually know, because we come here each week and we talk about the fact that we are both learning things, but then so many things are happening brand new. And before we jump right into it, I just want to say for you, please give everybody a sense of your Thanksgiving, because you were very much on the move in a holiday about eating, which frankly, you and I really share a true love and passion for eating on all forms, on all days. But of course, Thanksgiving is a true celebration of eating. But let us know, just give a sliver of what yours was like.
It is. And first of all, when I think of Thanksgiving, I always think of you, Sam, because I am very, very thankful for you and this podcast and our little journey that we're on with Let's Catch Up together. So, and to all of our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So thankful for the listeners, of course, for Catherine and the Bills Mafia, who are so dedicated.
So impressive. Yes. I was actually in New Orleans for Thanksgiving, covering the Saints-Bills game. And even after the game, I was doing an interview with Micah Hyde, and he could not even hear me screaming at the top of my lungs. I sounded like a chain smoker, but I had to, make him be able to hear the questions. And he even said, he's like, wow, this is unbelievable. He's like, I'm not that surprised, because we do see the Bills Mafia show up each and every week, whether we're at home or on the road. He said, but they are really, really loud today. And it was just insane that at the end of the game, we're in the Caesars Superdome. We're in New Orleans. They have an avid fan base. There are no, measly fan base to be, looking at. And the Bills have filled up the entire half of the dome on the side that the Bills sideline is, even though they were scattered throughout the game. They all came to this one side and were going nuts after the game. You couldn't even hear anybody talk. They were going crazy. And it was cool to see Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. They all went over there and signed autographs, and a bunch of the guys did. And you can just see that as much as Bills Mafia is there for them, the players appreciate it so much. They all spent time to go up there and see all the fans afterwards and, take their jerseys off, take their hats off, and just throw it into the stands. And Stephon Diggs does this cute thing before the game where he throws the ball back and forth with different fans. But no, I was in New Orleans. It was a blast, a great city to be in. They honored Drew Brees at halftime, which was really, really cool. I feel bad for the Saints. They are so injured, obviously. The tough situation at running back with Alvin Kamara, then Mark Ingram. And I spoke to Mark Ingram on Thursday morning, and he seemed like he was going to be good to go. He was dealing with some swelling around his knee.
Yeah.
And he texted me that morning and he gave me the thumbs up. I think I'm going to be good. I think I'm going to play. And then about an hour later, he said, oh boy, it looks like the coaches are going to be cautious. I don't know yet. And then he sent me a mad face, which I guess that means that he is upset because he was not able to play. But I think ultimately
that was a tough blow for them. But you're right,
trying to be cautious. But they've got so many injuries that you can't just look at running back. The game before, seven of their projected offensive starters from the preseason weren't able to play. And so, if you've got to define every team by one word, it'd be impossible not to define the Saints by injuries. I think that they'd be in a much different position had they not suffered so many of them. But well, the Bills.
That game that you were at, I want to ask one thing. I want to ask one thing, though, Taylor. I mean, you're there in the city of New Orleans, and like you said, that fan base, which is a rabid fan base, a committed fan base, to see all of the Bills there as well. I also want to know, I'm sure you snuck in a meal on Thanksgiving as well, right?
How did you maneuver
around the fact that it was actually Thanksgiving? And I know I'm sure you slid with your family to have a true Thanksgiving around Thursday. But I mean, even on Thursday, I'd be fascinated to know, either what you were able to grab around the dome or anything else, because it's not a bad city to eat in. That's for
not
sure.
At all.
In the city
of New Orleans. Had to be there really early. So I just had breakfast and brunch at the hotel, the Marriott. And then, but the night before, we went out for a big dinner at Luke
nice.
In New Orleans. And it was a great, great spot. Local spot, Southern hospitality. I feel like every time you go to New Orleans, you're just embraced by the city and the people there. So it's always a fantastic environment to be around.
Well, I love that you had a New Orleans Thanksgiving. And for those that don't know, my mom is from New Orleans. My parents met at LSU. So a very special place in my heart for New Orleans. And I'm so glad that you were there for a special Thanksgiving. Of course, more special for the Bills than for the Saints, but nonetheless, special, a tremendous, tremendous season-defining win, you could even say, for the Bills, because really back on track for them. You know, really one of those wins that you could say that's a stamp on sort of who they are. But it reminds me, Taylor, I look at what's happening this season, and each week we try to define one thing that we now know. And I'm going to quickly say one that I now know, and I want to hear from you. The one thing I feel like I now know, and I can now concede, and you were quicker to this than me, but I am just going to say I was wrong to say the New England Patriots were not in the conversation of best teams in the AFC. Because if you look at the standings today, the New England Patriots, with 8 wins, you would have to say are more than even in the conversation, a 2 seed at the moment. But the Patriots, do I think they're going to win the AFC East? No, I think the Bills ultimately will. But the Patriots have firmly entrenched themselves. Mac Jones has defined himself as the rookie quarterback of note for this season. And look, that's it. I'm just going to concede that. That's the one thing I now know, is that I still may think that the Bills
are the better
team. The Chiefs and the Ravens are better teams. We saw the Browns on the field with the Patriots.
You know what they don't have is Bill Belichick. And I think that you could have obviously we've seen this happen before, where they go up a team that has a better roster, a better cast of players, bigger playmakers on their teams. But when you've got a coach like Bill Belichick that can find ways to win, that's one of the most creative coaches, that's arguably the best coach that's ever coached in the NFL. They're tough to beat. They've outscored their opponents by 148 points during their 6-game win streak, which is 24.7 points per game. It's not even close in these games. Matthew Judon is up there, I think, 3rd in the league with 11 sacks. He's having a heck of a year. He brings out the best in the players that he does have, I think. And that's like something that, you know, when you think about certain coaches and what they have the ability to do, I always have thought that about Bill, is he's one of the most creative play callers, but he finds a way to bring out the best in every player that he does have.
I'm giving it up. That's it. That's the one thing I now know, is that I was wrong to suggest they're not in the conversation. They're clearly in the conversation, and what that means moving forward for them. Yes, and we will now see. You're right. That Monday night game will be defining for New England. But I want to know for you, what is the one thing that you would say you now know as we put a stamp on another week here of this incredible NFL season to this point, Taylor?
One thing that I now know is that if I had to define the Chargers by any word, it would be inconsistent, unfortunately. I wish that they were more consistent. I also think that Justin Herbert is, I know that we're about to talk about most dynamic playmakers and the most impactful playmakers, and I would say he is up there for one of the most impactful playmakers. If you look at this Chargers offense, 2 weeks ago, he was RB2. He had over 90 yards rushing. He had threw for 3 touchdowns. He's a threat on the ground and in the passing game, and it's not like a measly threat in the passing game. He's up there with Patrick Mahomes and in that category. So when it comes to most dynamic and most impactful playmakers on every team, it would be Justin Herbert. Unfortunately, I think that they are defined right now by inconsistency. They either start off really strong and they have a great game, or they start really slow and they just can't find a way to get a rhythm going on offense. And I think that when you look at that, you've got to attribute that to their offensive line. It either plays really well and holds up for Herbert, or it just kind of crumbles around him where he's got no time to throw the ball. He's got no time to really either scramble and run when we know we can do that, or find a receiver and a target and get and see one of those guys open and throw the ball.
It comes down to this, Taylor. It comes down to this. You defined it so perfectly there. And I know we're going to get a little more to Herbert in just a second, but the Chargers are, in a word, we can pretty much say it like this. The Chargers are 6-5. That's what they are. The Chargers are 6-5. And it is so perfectly fitting that they are 6-5, because you would probably say that they deserve to be better than 500. And there are some clear, epic wins.
I think they deserve to be a lot better than that. Because when they are playing well, they look unstoppable. That primetime game the other week, it was...
They can be. They can be breathtaking. They can be breathtaking. And we've seen this season, we've seen what the Chargers have been able to do. It's been incredible games to see that game, that back and forth wild game with the Browns, to see the game where they beat the Chiefs, obviously such an important game for them. But when you look back and you scratch your head and you say, how could they not show up at all against the Ravens? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then at home to lose to the Vikings, frankly, doesn't make much sense either. And now this game
against Denver. That one was a close game at the very least, though.
True, but I just don't even understand how this game against Denver gets so out of hand. So you're right. Chargers 6-5. That's the definition. You've said it.
It gives a little bit of credit here to the Broncos defense because they have gotten, you know, a lot of key players back from injuries. Bradley Chubb, they had, I mean, they've won 3 out of their last 4 games. They're now 6-5. They started the season 3-0, then lost the next 4 games. Now they're right back in it. So give some credit where credit's due there. I'm not taking anything away from them. I wish that they could just find a way to get in a more consistent groove.
Chargers consistency, I think you hit it. That's one thing we now know, is that Chargers consistency is simply inconsistent. All right, Taylor, one other thing we have to, this has been weighing on me for a few weeks, and I just want to get this quickly from you. The most dynamic playmaker in this league right now is ... And I will go first because it's interesting that I would say this on a night when this quarterback throws 4 interceptions, but maybe it's obvious, but to those who have forgotten, the most dynamic and important playmaker in this league, it's Lamar Jackson. Yeah. You know, you get to watch a game with the Ravens without Lamar, and then you watch a game with Lamar. And even on a night, like I said, with 4
interceptions. Look, it takes a lot to throw 4 interceptions and still win the game.
And to still want to throw the ball and to throw the ball up to Mark Andrews in what clearly would be the most impressive offensive play of the game would be the throw to get them into the red zone on the pass to Andrews. And of course, a remarkable catch by Andrews, scooping it off the ground barely. And then with pressure in his face, with Garrett having to just smile and say kudos after he hits Andrews in the end zone, stumbling backwards and throwing it up. It's Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the player that will make that. And it seems as if nobody else could. And that's all, Taylor. I mean, so I ask you, the most dynamic playmaker in this league, an important playmaker, is who? And I'll also just say this. It's also a season where we've talked a lot about running backs. And, of course, at times you would have seen, Derrick Henry, and there's Jonathan Taylor. And we've seen that.
But then we see how they've done. They've had 2 players with over 100 rushing yards, the Titans.
Yes.
So we've seen how – not saying that running backs are replaceable, but we've seen how teams have, kind of – just
weather the storm.
Right, come out just as strong. But I couldn't agree with you more. Now that was kind of, I think I jumped on my take early with Justin Herbert as being one of the most dynamic playmakers and most impactful playmakers, but I couldn't agree more about Lamar. And what we saw last night is they're finding ways to win. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think that the Ravens are perfect, because they're not. We've seen their defense look awful. We've seen what happens when the Dolphins blitzed Lamar nonstop. There was nothing that this offense could do to try and make anything happened. They couldn't get going at all. So we've definitely seen them struggle at times, but they're finding ways to win. So as long as they can continue to keep doing that, that's all that's going to matter. They've got a really tough road ahead of them, though, with the Steelers, Browns, and then Packers, Rams. I mean, their remaining schedule is extremely tough.
But again, we're not even talking about who will ultimately be there at the end. Yes, the Ravens right now are the 1 seed, but even if they were not, it's still okay for us to make the statement that the most important playmaker looks like Lamar. And we got to see it again. To see that team without him, to see them again on a night when he's not at his best, to still will that team, to carry that team, to carry that offense and make those plays. And again, we've talked about the ills at the running back position for the Ravens this season. And yet, here they are. Here he is. Remind everybody who the MVP was 2 seasons ago. And he looks every bit that. He's got that in him. And with the flick of a wrist, or with a quick movement to the side, he just finds himself the ability to make a play. And yes, look, Mahomes is in this conversation without a doubt. Absolutely. But I think we can celebrate it for this week that Lamar looks like that guy. And that's all. Well, Taylor, I just want to say also, incredibly thankful for you, for this, for all of the energy that this brings us, and for just another incredible week in the NFL that taught us at least a little something. But I'm glad that you not only got to have a meal in New Orleans, but also then a beautiful Thanksgiving meal, a proper family Thanksgiving meal as well. And you got to see Henry also, right? That really, I know that's
the highlight of the trip, 100%.
Well, that is what matters truly.
Hopefully we'll be doing a Let's Catch Up pod during in December at the holidays during Christmas time together, because I'm sure you will be back on the West Coast.
Absolutely, especially because it actually started snowing around here. We saw
some snow. It's time for Sam to get out. It's too cold for his West Coast bones.
The West Coast blood is thin when it comes to that.